Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and I want you to turn to Psalm 119. 119, and we're glad you're in church, and we're getting a little bit closer every week back to normal, and I'm looking forward to the time that we can get back to old times. There's something special about walking into this place and hearing the singing and the preaching of the Word of God and the smiles and the handshakes, and I miss all of that. And I believe God's going to give it back to us real soon. But in the meantime, God's still the same. He still sits on the throne. He still ministers to the heart of God's people. And I hope that you're taking the time that this pandemic has brought into our lives and utilizing it in a very special way to have a relationship with God like you've never had before. Some of the things that have happened have kind of forced us to do what we should do all the time, and that is to pray more, to read our Bible more, and to meditate on it, and to think about the wonderful Word of God. And I hope that Psalm 119, as we started last week, will give us just a few things. What I'm preaching here helped me. It has helped me to get through this difficult time, and I'm thankful to the Lord that the Bible is as real as we have heard it preached and read about and think about. I hope it's real in your life today, and God will help all of us to be stronger. Psalm 119, you follow as I read the first 8 verses, and we're going to stay right there for just a few moments this morning. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your goodness. We have been blessed. And how we need the blessedness of God during these difficult times in which we're living right now. Thank you for taking care of our pastor and giving him a restful time and a safe, uneventful trip and a time with his family. Thank you for bringing him back to us. We thank you for him, what he means to us. Thank you for how you use him in such a great way to minister the hearts of so many people. Thank you for those who've come here today to gather here in this place. I pray you'll bless each one. Bless their families. Thank you for those who are tuning in online, those who could not be here today. And I pray you'll meet with us, Lord. We need in these days something that we can't get from the government. We can't get from the doctors. We can only get from the great physician, Almighty God. And I pray you'll minister to our hearts in a very special way. Help every man, woman, boy, or girl here today to glean something from your precious word that will help them in the difficult times, the lonely times, the needy times in their lives. Take me as your servant, cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, then fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. This is the 23rd consecutive Sunday that we've had what I called an abnormal kind of a service. All of us who've been around here any length of time, I've been here almost 39 years, there's something special about being in this place we call church. I think the gathering of God's people, but all of us from all walks of life have come together. We have something in common that's given to us by Almighty God. And it's an amazing thing when we come together and meet together and express it in so many ways as we do with shaking hands and smiles and singing and praying and fellowshipping and preaching, all of that God has given to us in what is called the local New Testament church. I miss that. I miss those wonderful times together. This pandemic, without a doubt, I don't have to convince anybody, has affected us in a lot of ways. The most noticeable way is what it has done to us physically. I mentioned last week, and we see it all the time, it's affected our family in a very special way. And what I've seen our pastor go through, and what his wife has gone through, and what we've gone through as a family, what I've seen friends go through, and I've seen so many people that have been affected by this thing in a physical way. And we work hard to do all that we can. We take vitamins and we take all kinds of supplements. We're trying physically to protect ourselves against this thing that we don't understand. It's affected all of us financially, and we've gone through a lot of things and going through some things, some worse than others. This is something that has affected us, and we work hard to try to take care of what we're used to doing financially. That's something that has happened called COVID-19, or this pandemic that we have to live with. And if you haven't figured it out yet, it hasn't been resolved. There hasn't been anyone who's come up with an answer to say, I can put a stop to this. The only one who can do it is Almighty God. But I want to tell you something. God wasn't caught off guard. He knows everything. He didn't leave us down here not to be able to survive. It's not what we can do financially or what's going to happen physically. The sad thing about this whole situation is we put a lot of time on the physical aspects and the financial aspects, but there's something else God wants us to do. He wants us during this pandemic to put some time in developing what is most important. That's called the heart. And I don't know about you, but this has affected me in a way, and this pandemic has taken some things away that's very dear to me. I miss what we have in church, and I miss my time with my kids, and I miss the time with my grandkids and my friends and fellowship and meals and travel and all of those things. I miss those things. But something has happened in the last 5 months that's been very special. I've always been, since I got saved very early in life from 44 years ago, been one who would read the Bible. I disciplined myself to read God's word. I disciplined myself to pray a certain amount of time every day. I disciplined myself to do some things that I've read in this Bible. I've found out that though I may be disciplined in the Bible, there's a lot different between being disciplined in reading and disciplined in praying, and have yourself praying in a way to get a hold of God like you've never done before. And I'm afraid that many of God's people who live in this world in this pandemic, we spend a lot of time trying to deal with the physical, and we ought to. We spend a lot of time dealing with the finances, and we ought to. But how much time do I deal with trying to develop this heart that God's given me to help me to have a greater relationship with Him than I've ever had before? Yes, certain aspects of worship has been taken away. Certain financial things have changed. But one thing that is more dear and more available than ever before is this precious Word of God. And I wonder how many of God's people are taking the extra time of being at home a little longer, having a little bit more time than I've ever had before, having time to pray a little longer, read a little longer, meditate a little longer. I wonder how much of that we put and give attention to what is so needed today, and that is to develop a strong, strong heart. I'll tell you how we're going to get through this pandemic. It's not going to be by a stimulus package though that may hail, it's not going to be because of the hope of finding something that's going to bring about a cure. I'll tell you how we're going to get through it. It's how strong this heart is in my relationship to the God who controls all. The way to get through this pandemic, which is going to last until it comes to an end, is how strong my heart is. And the heart cannot be developed the way it needs to be until I get a hold of this precious word of God. The 119th Psalm is a great psalm. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. There are 22 stanzas, and each stanza has 8 verses. I read last week these first 8 verses, and I titled this message, How to Get Through This Pandemic. And I want you to listen for a few moments as we look at the psalmist. I don't know what the psalmist was going through, but there's something he longed for in his heart, and he couldn't find it in the things of the world. There's something he longed for that he could only find in his relationship with Almighty God. And I'll tell you today, money can't solve this pandemic, and medicine can't solve this pandemic, but there's a God in heaven who looks down upon every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, in every situation and said, I've left you something that's inerrant, it's inspired, get a hold of it. And it'll walk you every step you have to go into this pandemic that's affected this world. We saw last week in the first 3 verses, the first thing that the psalmist desired was a desire. He said, I'm going through something in life, and I've got a desire. I need something. In verses 1 and 2, he used the word blessed. Blessed in verse number 1 are the undefiled in the way. Verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimony. The word blessed is that the psalmist desired to be happy. He says, look, all the circumstances I'm going through, things won't produce happiness, but I desire, regardless of what I'm going through, I desire to have the blessedness of Almighty God. I want to be happy in unhappy circumstances. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get up every day miserable. I don't want to listen to the news and be miserable all the time. I don't want to think about what is happening all the time and be miserable. And I've found that I can't get enough money. I can't get enough medicine. Can't take enough supplements to find what this heart longs for. It's a happiness that comes from Almighty God. I need something in this pandemic that can only come from God. And the psalmist here in these first 3 verses, he said, I know how to find this happiness. It's the attitude that I'm going to have to this blessed word. And I want you to think for a moment and look at his desire. He desired to be happy. And in verses 1, 2, and 3, he found the remedy that this happiness would bring, and it could only come by God. By the way, God doesn't just look at every situation or every circumstance I have in life and said, I'm going to make you happy. He said, but I've got a happiness that circumstances won't quiver. I've got a happiness that can make you happy when nothing else will. But there's a way you have to get it. And the psalmist says, first of all, it's a straight way. Very quickly, look at what he says. He said, blessed, blessed are the undefiled in the way. He wants us to remind us of something. There is a way, but it's a straight way. That way, the only true way today is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think for a moment. Your physical condition, your financial condition, your emotional condition may be not the best, But if you're in the way, you have Jesus Christ living in your heart and life today. That is the way where happiness begins. He said, thank God, when I have no money, don't have the best health, I'm worried about things going on in the world, concerned about my job, I'm in the way. I've got Jesus, and I don't want this pandemic and anything else in life to cause me to go contrary to what this way has done in my life. I don't know about you, but I know what it is to be lost for 30 years, and I know the difference of being saved for 44 years. Hey, there's a big difference when you know Jesus Christ. He says it's a straight way. But not only is it a straight way, there has to be a solid walk. He says, who walk in the law of the Lord. If I'm in the way, I've got to walk the way in the ways that this way takes me. I've got to have a solid walk. Hey, this thing is real. This thing about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ is real. I mean, when he saved me, I'm to turn away from the world and I'm going to have a solid walk in the things that he has put in my life. He says it takes a solid walk. He says in verse 2, that they that keep his testimonies. It's a straight way, requires a solid walk, but I've got to stick to the word. I mean, when there's more money in the bank, stick to the word. When I'm not as physically healthy as I want to be, stick to the word. When it looks like there's no hope, stick to the word. Stick to the word. Then he goes on and says something that we all need to do. He says in verse 2, and that seek him with the whole heart. God says many people profess to seek him, but really don't seek him. He says, I don't want you to have a knowledge about me. I want you to seek me, but I want you to seek me with that which is most important. Man looks on the outward appearance. I'm concerned about the heart. Do you want me with your whole heart? Then if you seek me in the midst of what you're going through, guess what? You're going to find me. You're going to find me. It's a straight way that requires a solid walk, sticking to the word, seeking him with our whole heart. But then he says, they also do no iniquity. God says, I don't want you sinning if you want happiness in an unhappy world. I want you to stay away from that which I died for. I want you to stay away from what I've redeemed you from. I mean, in the midst of all that you're going through, for heaven's sake, stick to the word. Seek me with your whole heart. And for heaven's sake, stay away from sin. And then he said in verse 3, walk in his ways. Now in verse 1, he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way. That's my salvation. But when he talks about his ways, he's talking about the ways that you ought to walk now that you're in the way. In other words, find every opportunity that you can to still serve me. You may not be able to pass out tracts or knock on doors and do some of the things, but look for ways every time you have an opportunity to talk to someone. Still serve me. Pandemic is no time to stop serving God. Now the psalmist says, I want to be happy. And God says, I want you to be happy. But I want you to realize something. It's a straight way with a solid walk, sticking to the word, seeking me with your whole heart, staying away from sin, and serving me according to my will. That was his desire. Now, that's the whole sermon I preached last week. Now, is that your desire? Do you have a desire in the midst of a pandemic to be happy? Do you want to get over and beyond everything that makes you miserable? I'm going to tell you, money's not going to do it. Health is not going to do it. All the other things will not do it. We're in a pandemic that's worldwide, and God's still on the throne. And he says, in the midst of that, I want you to be happy. But you can only be happy when that's your desire to do it the way I've designed. Well, the psalmist says, guess what? I want that. I want that in my life. I want this straight way. I want this solid walk. I want to stick to the word. I want to seek him with my whole heart. I want to stay away from sin. I want to serve him. I want to do that. That's my desire. But then in verses 4, 5, and 6, he says, but I face a dilemma. And I want you to see what every person who desires to be what God wants them to be, what you face in this dilemma. Here's something we have to deal with to fulfill that desire. He started out in verse number 4 saying, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. I desire to be happy. And he's told me I've got to walk. He's told me I've got to stay away from sin. He's told me all these things I've got to do. I want to do that. He says, but here's the dilemma. I just realized something. What God said in verses 1, 2, and 3, this is a requirement from the master. In other words, there are no options. I don't have another choice. He makes it very clear. Thou hast commanded me. If I'm going to find this happiness, I've got to understand this is a command that came from Almighty God. Therefore, I have no options if I want to make it and be happy. He says, there's a clear commandment. Thou hast commanded us. There can be no doubt in God's word that it's his will. When there's a commandment, there's a precept, there's a statute. Guess what? God expects not just preachers, not just deacons, not just leaders. He expects every child of God who's in the way to understand. It's a clear commandment. If you love me, keep my commandments. He goes on to say, this is the requirement of the master. He makes it a clear commandment. But then he says something else. To keep thy precepts diligently. You know what he's saying? Stop being casual with my word. Stop just making an option of you for you to read or you to hear. I want you to understand I'm giving you a clear commandment to make you happy, but you've got to make sure that there's a cautious compliance to keep it diligently. Every time I hear it, do it. Every time I read it, do it. Every time I memorize it, do it. Give some diligent effort to make my word what it is, real. After all, you're in a miserable, unexpected, undesired situation in life called a pandemic. And you've tried everything you can to be happy. But this kind of happiness comes from me, and it comes from those who are in the straight way, who solid walk, who are seeking me with their whole heart, that are staying away from sin and serving me and sticking to the word, but I don't want it to be a casual thing. I want it to be so real that you seek it diligently. Oh, God, help me. Help me every time I hear something you want me to do. Help me to realize it's not a preacher talking. It's Almighty God talking. And help me to diligently seek it. So he says, my dilemma is, I've got to understand this is a requirement from the master. But then he said in verse number 5, there's something else that I need to do in this dilemma. He said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. The requirement from the master is a clear commandment that I am to cautiously comply. Here's the problem I face. As a man, as a human being, I've got to resist my ways. I've got to realize something. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. What I see is not important. It's what God has said in his word that's important. So I've got to tell myself, I've got this commandment. It is very clear. I've got to diligently seek to keep his commandments. But I've got a problem. I always want to do things my way. And I'm going to tell myself over and over, how I see things will not bring me to where I need to be in this life. I've got to get my ways to see his ways and make sure that I tell. If I do that, he says in verse number 6, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Hey, let me tell you something. If I realize what he's commanded, and I realize I'm to seek diligently, if I realize I'm not to keep some of his commandments, those which are easy, if I'm to realize that I'm to keep all of his commandments, guess what? I'm going to reach a point in my life where the sins of the world or the sins of the past or the things that I do, I'm not going to be ashamed, because all of a sudden my ways have become his ways and God's going to bless me in it. So he says, I've got the desire. The dilemma is there. Look at this as his commandments that are clear. I'm going to cautiously seek to keep them. I'm going to make sure that I say no to my ways and yes to his ways. And then I'm going to claim the promise that if I do that, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm going to keep all of his commandments. So I've got the desire. I want it. I'll face the dilemma. Now, what is there left for me to do to really find this happiness? Is it just my desire? I have that. I'll face my dilemma. He's commanded. It's clear. I'll be cautiously, diligently seeking it. I want my ways to become his ways. And then verses 7 and 8, he says, here's how to finalize it. You've got the desire. Face the dilemma. Now make a decision. You want to be happy? You want to get through this pandemic? You want to be able to have happiness in an unhappy world? It's not enough just to have a desire. You can see the dilemma and say, I will address it. But if I'm going to make it, I've got to make a decision. And the psalmist said, I have the desire. I'm not afraid of the dilemma. I respect what God has told me to do. I'm personally now going to make some decisions that's going to make a difference in how I live during these difficult times. And he says here in verses 7 and 8, four quick things he said he made a decision to do according to his word. Look at verse number 7. He said, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. We'll come back to that in a second, but look at the next phrase. When I shall have learned thy test righteous judgment. Since the word has what I'm looking for, what I desire, since the word tells me in the limit I face that he commands it and is very clear, I know my ways and what they are. I know the only way for me to have it is to make a decision. Here's the first decision he says I'm going to make. I'm going to desire during this time I have to learn his word.
I'm going to ask you a question that you don't have to answer. How much of God's word have you learned the last 5 months? How much of what will make a difference? How much of what will make me happy? How much of what will help me? Have I actually learned when I've had more time in the last 5 months than I ever had? You know what he says I'm going to do? Here's a decision I'm going to make. Since this book is so valuable, since it has what I need, since it's been commanded by Almighty God, here's what I'm going to do. I've decided I'm going to learn it. I'm going to learn something from this inspired book every single day to help me. Instead of getting up every morning and getting online and looking for resources, trying to find something else, how about getting in the book and learn something from the one who wrote the book, made the world, and made the difference? He says, first of all, I've decided I'm going to learn his word. Then he said in verse 8, I will keep thy statutes. When I learn something, here's what I've decided to do. I'm going to live according to what I learn. I'm not going to have God tell me something to do and not do it. I've learned it, and bless God, since I've learned it, I'm going to live according to what I learned. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what the world is doing. God taught me something, and he gave it to me for a reason. I've learned it, and I'm going to tell me to live what I've learned. Thirdly, he said, I will praise, this is verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. You know, praise springs from a heart that knows, loves, and obeys God. I'll tell you something that I know from experience and know from pastoring and know from preaching and talking to people. If you have a hard time praising God, even during this pandemic, there's something wrong with your word in you. You can't learn this Bible, live this Bible, and find nothing to praise God for in the midst. I could take hours and tell you the last 5 months of praise, of things that he's done and things that you've seen. Yes, they're the tough things and the physical things and the financial things and the emotional things, but there are a lot of God-given things that you roll out of bed every morning and you say, thank God, praise God, praise God for all that he's done. I not only need to learn his word, live according to what I learned, but I've got to learn to love it. Back in the early 90s, my wife had what I call a problem. She didn't think so, but she was hooked on these Christian novels, Jeanette Oak, and she used to read those things. We'd be on the plane, we'd be in bed, all the time she'd read novel after novel after novel after novel. Good Christian novels that a lot of ladies, probably a lot of you read them, I used to read them, or maybe still read them. And in a spiritual decision that I made one day, with a good attitude, I said, if you read the Bible as much as you read Jeanette Oak, you'd be even more spiritual. I threw that in on the end, so just to not get in trouble. Well, she took me up on it. She put down Jeanette Oaks and she started reading the Bible. And I read through the Bible almost twice a year. Then she started reading through it 3 times, 4 times, 5 times. And she was asking me all the time, where are you reading today? And I thought she was concerned about me reading, but she was just want to remind me she'd passed me again.
That was in the early 90s. A few years ago, now, she came to me one time and said, you know what, I read my Bible 3, 4, 5 times through every year. But she said, something just happened. She said, I've come to the point now where I'm not just reading it, but every single day I read it, I love it. She said, I love the Bible. I mean, and so she lit up more in reading the Bible. I mean, it's one thing to just read through the Bible like we all do. I mean, I started a week after I was saved, conditioned to read the Bible. But she says, I love it. I it lights up my soul. And now for years, she not only reads through the Bible 3, 4, 5 times, but she loves every word of the Bible that she reads. Oh, God, help us to learn it. Help us to live it. Help us to love it. And then he said, lastly, verse 8, then will I keep thy statutes, forsake me not utterly. You know what God says? If you desire to know me with all of your heart, if you desire to have happiness in an unhappy world, let me tell you how to do it. That heart that gets my attention, let me see a desire from you to be happy. And if you desire to be happy, then you've got to realize something. It's a straight way. I need a solid walk. I need you to stick to the word. Seek me with your whole heart. Stay away from evil and serve my will. You'll face a dilemma, but look at it. There's a requirement that I have for you, a clear commandment, and I want you to be cautious. Seek it, obey it diligently. Let your ways become my ways, he says. And if you do that, he says, you're going to find that I'll make that available for you. And the only thing left for you to do is make a decision. Lord, I'm going to take my eyes off all that's around me, everything that I'm facing. I have a desire. I'll face the dilemma, but I'm going to make a decision. And I'm going to decide that I'm going to learn your word. I'm going to live according to your word. I'm going to love your word, and you're going to give me something that is lasting. No matter what I go through, no matter how long it lasts, what you give me is going to be there continually. What a great promise from a great God. You know what I've learned during this pandemic? I've learned that a stimulus is very helpful. I've learned that finding a cure for this pandemic is very hopeful. But I've learned that this precious word is the only thing that brings true happiness. May God help us during these difficult times that we're all facing to have a desire for his word. Face the dilemma, realize he requires it, and then determine, I'm going to learn it, live it, love it, because it's the only thing that's lasting. That's helped me during the most difficult times I've faced in life to get through it. This, which wasn't taken away from us, a lot of other things have, but this has been more available than ever before, because during this pandemic, God's given more time than ever before. May God help us to dust this off Open it up and learn it, live it, love it. You'll find out it's lasting. It'll take us all the way through this pandemic. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Let me ask a couple of questions. How many can say, preacher, one thing I know for sure, that according to this word you just preached, I'm in the way. I know that Jesus is my Savior, and I'm totally at peace about that according to this word. If you know that, would you slip your hands real high? That's settled. You may put them down. How many just raised your hand and say, preacher, be honest with you. I need more desire. I need to do a better job facing this dilemma. And I need to make a decision that I'm going to learn more about this book. I'm going to live what I've learned. I'm going to ask God to help me to love this book that I read. And I want something that's lasting in my life. I need it now. And God's spoken to my heart. And I wonder if you'd pray for me in your closing prayer. If that's your prayer as a Christian, would you slip your hand up real high and say, God spoke to my heart. Thank you. God bless you. You may put them out. Hey, look, this is real. You know what we're going to learn in this pandemic? We're going to learn how real God is. We're going to learn how mechanical we are. And God's put us in a position, he wants us to know him like never before. He wasn't caught off guard. He's still the same God he's always been. Then finally, if there be a man, woman, boy, or girl here to say, preacher, I'm not in the way. I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I realize he is the only way. And I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. But I sure don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me in your closing prayer that I might get in the way? I might accept Jesus as my Savior, repent of my sins, ask him to come in my heart. He'll do that. Just seek him with your whole heart. Would there be a man, woman, boy, or girl? Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Say, preacher, pray for me. Would you raise your hand for just a moment? Anyone like that at all? Let's stand together. We're going to close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. I hope and pray that you'll glean something from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, that help you wherever you are during these difficult times. Father, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the difference it's made in our lives. Thank you that though we've lost a lot of things and don't have fellowship and worship like we want to and used to, and been through some financial difficulties, a lot of physical issues, emotional. But one thing that's been there all along has been your word. Forgive us if we haven't learned it and lived it and loved it the way we ought to. Give us that desire. Make us a difference. Help us to face our dilemma. And help us to leave here, though we can't make up for the last 5 or 6 months, but we don't know how long we're going to be in this situation. But we have a remedy to help us through it. Help us to take advantage of it. Dismiss us now with your blessings. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.